Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Amen. Bless the Lord. 10,000 reasons, 10,000 times. We never run out of reasons to bless the Lord, do we? And you know, if you have trouble worshiping on a Sunday morning, you're gonna have a hard time in eternity. Because that's what we're going to be doing. Man, isn't the Lord just magnificent? And we're in this season where we're thinking about Christmas more, but I wonder if we're thinking about Jesus more. Right, because all too often we can get caught up in the Christmas holiday instead of the reality of what Christmas actually is. So I would invite you guys just over these next several weeks to take that time and get with God, get with Him alone and just thank Him and celebrate and worship the magnificent time that we're in right now. It really is a great thing. Father, what a great time it actually is, Lord God, when the world, though the world may deny you, the world still has to acknowledge you during this season. Every time they hear the word Merry Christmas and things like that, we know what that means. And when we speak that, we know the gravity that it actually has. So Lord, help us to boldly wish people Merry Christmas so that leads to a greater understanding and a deeper conversation. Lord, today it's all about you. Once again, it's all about you. And Lord, I ask right now, Holy Spirit, to lower the walls around our hearts and minds this morning. Lord God, too often we walk in here, Lord, and we have a preconceived notion. We build these walls up and we don't let you in. We make it through church, but we don't actually do church. So Lord God, forgive us of those things and help us to get to a place where we can just listen, obey, be challenged, welcome the conviction. Because Lord, if it has to do with you, I know one thing, it's good. Amen. And it's good for us. So Lord, today we just glorify your name. Jesus, that name above all names. Jesus, the one that so many were waiting for so long. And then you got here and threw the world into confusion. But Lord God, that's the mystery of who you are. And now today we know who you are. And the mystery is why we don't fully commit to you. But today is all about you. And we will praise your name. We will never deny it, and we will never bow to anything else. So Jesus, we offer you ourselves, our praise, our adoration. Our words fall short, but Lord God, in spirit and in truth, we truly do desire and love you. Pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone shout it out.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody shouted it out. I like it. You guys can have a seat. Hey, before we get started, we've got sick people, right? Not here, hopefully, but they're homesick today. And that should just kind of serve as a reminder to check on your friends and neighbors in this sickly time of the year. If you don't see somebody in church, shoot them a text. Just make sure, you know, they're doing all right and things like that. Because that's what the church is all about. It's all about taking care of each other, being concerned with each other. That's an important thing. Kids, you guys can head on out. Children's. All right. And adults, boy, you guys are quiet. I'm going to just, you guys have a bulletin. They come on Thursdays. You can always access them through the app. I'm not going to really run through announcements this morning. I just don't want to do that. Really, the only announcement I want to announce is the Christmas Eve service. And I want to announce that simply because you guys need to invite people. And I say that simply because there's people out there that desperately are awaiting an invitation. And they want to be invited somewhere. They may not know it, but they do. So please grab cards. I should have had to reprint these cards over and over and over. Grab a stack, pass them out. If they get thrown away, who cares? It's just a few cents of paper. But if they come, something great might actually happen. So let's just try to invite as many people as we can to Christmas Eve. It may be the only time that they come to church in a year, that and maybe Easter. So let's make it worth it. So please invite, please be here. If you invite somebody, meet them at the door. Don't expect them to just find you because you grabbed the seat that you want. Meet them at the door and sit wherever they feel comfortable. We do those things. We sacrifice those things because we have a greater picture of something much, much better, right? So let's do those things. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's it for announcements. And everyone said, oh, yeah, four ways to give. We'll do this real quick, too. Four ways to give. You can give online, bridgehelena.com, text it. Giving box mail, of course, through the app is, I think, the way most people are given. That's giving online and all those things. Again, it's the season of giving, right? And we always mess that up and think that it's we get stuck. I was talking to Amy, and I was just like, I'm just so tired of this. Is that we get stuck in this holiday season of, well, we got to give gifts to this person and that person. My kids need gifts and this and that. And yeah, they probably do, but we take that to such an extreme, and it takes the focus off of the true gift that actually came, right? So with our tithes and offerings, with worship, with everything, all we're doing is giving just a little bit. We're acknowledging what God has done in life. I'm not saying presents are bad. I love presents. I'm just saying we can get so caught up in those things, and it can be such a financial burden, and we can mismanage finances because we think we have to. And God grants wisdom. If we look to Him first, if we give Him adoration and worship, we give Him rule and reign over things like our finances. He tends, I've noticed in my life, He tends to take care of things. Anybody else can attest to that in here? I think most of us can, can't we? All right. That's why we give. But we also don't just worship with our checkbooks. We also worship with our time, our energy, our voices, our love for one another, our acts of kindness. Those are all worship ways to worship our King and our Savior. All right? We're good with all that? Okay, let's get rolling because I'm excited about this message. I don't know how excited you guys will be. But I hope you are. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, once again, thank you. Thank you so much that we can be here today. And the reason we can be here today is because of your Son. Because of your foresight, your wisdom, all of those things. Your plan was so amazingly perfect that it blows our mind. Your plan so perfect that we have the world saying that could never be correct. That could never be right. But Lord, it was so perfect. It is right. So we're here today because of Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for that. And once again, we ask you to open our hearts, to tear down those walls, to lower our defenses this morning. Don't let our minds shut off. Help us to engage. Help us to take a practical understanding and teachings that we find in Acts and help us to apply them into each one of our lives. Lord, help me to speak what you have for me to speak. And Holy Spirit, shut my mouth if you don't want me to speak it. And like always, Lord, I ask, I truly ask, don't let anybody leave here today the same way that they walked in. We pray for those that are homesick today or traveling or wherever they are. Lord God, bring healing, bring safety, bring protection, all of those things. The body comes together and they glorify you, but they also lift up each other. So Lord God, in your perfect plan, we rest in that solace and we pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said,
yeah.
Amen. And Jen's going to preach today, so I'm going to just...
Is my thing on? So during worship, at the end, right at the end, right when he started praying, my right shoulder started to like tinge a little bit, and my shoulders never hurt me. And so I was like, what is this, Lord? Like, what are you telling me? And he's like, I want you to tell somebody, is anybody's right shoulder hurting them in here today at all? Anybody? So he told me, he's like, I'm going to heal somebody's right shoulder today, right now. I'm healing them in this moment. And so but he was talking, and I didn't want to interrupt the flow of things. And so I just went and sat down, and I was like, Lord, while he's talking, if he prays, if he stops talking, or if he says the word healing, I need confirmation here. He's talking about, oh, let them heal their body. And I was like, fine. So here I am. I'm being obedient. Somebody's right shoulder is being healed. So let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And whoever needs that healing, receive it right now.
Oh, I love that about God. I love that, how the Holy Spirit does things, and we're so funny. And I think the Holy Spirit laughs a lot at us because he finds it comical when we do things just like that. Okay, Lord, I think it's you telling me to do this, but I need some more confirmation. So if this person says this exact word, I guess that's conversation. And it happens, and then it's like, why can't we just do it right off the bat, right? It's good to desire confirmation and things like that, but sometimes we can get stuck in that. Gideon was one that, and I was actually thinking about him this morning, and he got stuck in that a little bit, didn't he? And a lot of it's just fear and insecurity and a lack of a greater understanding of who we are in Christ, right? God wants to do so much through us. We're the ones that stop that. Well, let's get rolling. Let's get rolling on this this message today. Before we get started, I want to from the Bridge Prayer Challenge that we're in. So much fun. Hopefully, so much fun. So much insight, commitment. Things. If you haven't been committed, man, it's not too late. Just do it. Don't be stubborn. Don't think you're too busy. You can always make room for that. If you were here last week, we talked about the Holy Spirit and just these practical ways to listen to the Holy Spirit. And somebody grabbed me. Oh, we were at the gym, and I got a lot of feedback from this last message, and it was all positive. And interestingly enough, most all of the feedback came from men, and that was interesting to me because it was a real kind of, here's some 10 things that we can do and we know, and I love it when the men get excited in church. I love it when the women get excited too, but sometimes it's harder to get the men excited. And this person came up to me and he said, "Man, I don't know, I don't have all the principles memorized, all 10 of them." He said, but it's the first and the last, the ask and the act. He said, you should remind people of that. Just ask and act. Ask and act. And I think that is so appropriate that we need to be asking and we need to be acting, don't we? It's one of those things. The name of this series is It's Time to Act, so it all works together. And I want to encourage you guys right now, as we're in this middle time of this prayer challenge, and we got Christmas coming. We are thinking about those things and what are we going to eat and where is it going to be, and all those things can distract us. Sometimes we're still committed to prayer, but we're kind of even line of prayer. We're just kind of maintaining, right? Sometimes we're in a season of our life where maintenance, it's just, man, I'm just going to get through the day and I'm not going to lose any ground, is the best thing you can do. But I'm going to encourage you right now, don't just keep praying, but expand your prayers in fervency and in boldness. That's kind of fun, isn't it? It's like, wait a second, I can expand my prayers? Man, I've been praying for the moon. I've been shooting for the moon in my prayers. Well, shoot beyond the moon, right? Man, just continue fervency and boldness. Man, get before the Lord. He loves that. He loves when we're excited, when we're fervent, and when we're bold before him in our prayer life. Do it. We're going to have great testimonies come out of this, I hope. If we don't have, here's the deal, if we don't have testimonies come out of this prayer challenge, I'm going to wonder how many people actually took the prayer challenge seriously. Because if we take it seriously, if we commit to it, how can we not have testimonies come out of this? So keep it up. Keep expanding. Keep your fervency and keep your boldness, and let's just see what happens. All right, let's get to our principle for today. Let's get to this series. And honestly, we've come a long ways. People kind of joke with me about my series. And you know, I don't do three-part series. I don't do five-part series. I don't do 10-part series usually. They just tend to just keep growing and keep going. But we've come a long way in this series, and my hope is that you've gained, I guess, a deeper understanding of the early church. There was a lot going on in the early church. And maybe you've never studied Acts or really got into the book of Acts, but it's such a wonderful, powerful book of the Bible. And it's important to have that deep understanding of the early church, because after all, they are our forefathers in faith. You ever think of that? We're related to those guys in faith. They're in our faith line. And really, we need to be celebrating our family lineage, right? Some of you guys in here have this great family lineage. You can trace your ancestors back to wherever they came from. And you take pride in that, and that's very interesting to you. And you're like, oh, I'm kind of like that because my great-great-great-great-grandpa was kind of like that, and I see that lineage, and I can celebrate that, and it's pretty amazing. We need to also, and even more so, celebrate our church lineage, those forefathers of our faith. But even more in this series, I hope you have been challenged in this series. I have some heads going like, yeah, we've been challenged, all right. Maybe a little too much. No. Never, never too much. My desire is to have a church that's full of people that are pursuing change, right? That desire change. And I believe if you are willing to take the time on Sunday morning to actually come here, to get up, to start the car in the cold, to spray the window if you need, to venture out, to actually come here mostly on time to Bridge Assembly, then I have a responsibility. First to God, and then to each one of you to provide you with biblical truth that leads to change. See, I believe that if a pastor preaches biblical truth, it's always going to lead to change.
That's right.
So if you're sitting in a church and you're thinking, well, gosh, I just don't feel any different, I'm just not growing and things like that, there's two things that could be going on. One thing, the pastor's not preaching biblical truth. That's a possibility. The other thing is that you're not opening yourself up to that biblical truth. Because biblical truth will always bring change. If you are just looking to come on a Sunday morning and check the Sunday church box, I will tell you this, there are much easier places to go on a Sunday morning. There are, I could probably give you a list if that's what you're looking for. But if you're looking to take your faith to a deeper level, then I hope you will test yourself with these early church principles that we have been going through. We don't just look at the principles, we look at how those same principles apply to our everyday life. And that brings us to the next two and final principles in this series. So we're going to end this series next week, but not before we challenge ourselves just a little bit more, right? So what we'll do is we'll have principle today, we'll have principle next week, and then the next week will be Christmas Eve, and then we will come back on New Year's Day and talk about prayer and things like that. Who knows where we'll go from there, but I hope you've enjoyed this series so far. You guys good with all this?
Oh, yeah.
You guys ready? Okay, let's take a look at principle number 15. The church is willing to do the hard things. And everyone shouted out. Really? I guess I have to. Right? The church is willing to do the hard things. That's a pretty broad statement, isn't it? It's like, wait, what are you talking about? Well, we need to get all the snow shoveled. That's what I'm leading into. No, it's not. See, I could take this and I could wrap it around what my desires and my wants are and what I think the church needs, but what we're going to do instead is really look biblically and see how this pretty broad statement really applies to each one of us and how God loves to narrow that down. It's my feeling that principle number 15 must become a mindset, or really an anchor point, that holds and protects us in the everyday attacks against our faith. Any of you in here get attacked on a daily basis with your faith? That can look a whole lot of different ways, right? But we need to have an anchor point in these principles and this understanding that we're supposed to be open to, available, and willing to do the hard things is really important, because those attacks will continue to come. And those attacks come really both from the outside, and they come from the outside in ways of social pressure and ridicule and belittling and persecution and distraction, right? Those come from the outside. Oh, you're a Christian? You really believe those things? But also, and probably more in a more relentless manner, they come from the inside, right? Those attacks on our faith come from ourselves. How crazy is that? And those things manifest in actions, such as doubt. Anybody ever experienced doubt? We all do. Preconceived notions. Well, aren't I supposed to be like this? Well, look at this other person that goes to church. Look at how they live their life. Look at how much less I am. Maybe it's past experiences, right? We all carry all this baggage of past experiences. Now, we can learn from these, let that become wisdom, and use that as a testimony. But all too often, those past experiences, they beat us over the head. They try to beat us down. Remember when you were. Who are you to think? All of those little mindsets and words. Sometimes it's apathy, right? Sometimes we get stuck and our faith takes a hit simply because we can't become apathetic. But probably more than anything, it's simply because of fear. Faith, fear, they're at a battle in our lives on a daily basis. Who do we allow to win? Well, there's reasons that fear sometimes wins, and there's reasons that faith sometimes wins. And one of those reasons is principle number 15 here, in this idea that we need to be available and open and willing to do the hard things. I think as Christians, if we're not careful, if we don't guard our faith really carefully, we can begin to suffer from idealistic distortion. We put these rose-colored glasses on. We love to do that. And we approach life in a manner where we have separated ourselves from the realities, the harsh realities of this world. Oh, I'll just hide here in the shadow. And I won't pursue anything outside. I'll avoid difficult conversations. I'll avoid difficult people and situations. Yes, we are called to cast our cares upon the Lord. There's no doubt about that. And this will prepare us for the hard things that we're going to face. Anybody facing hard things right now? If you're not currently facing hard things right now, you've probably just come out of facing hard things. Or I'm sorry to say, you're going to be headed into facing hard things. Isn't that an uplifting conversation right there? Life is hard. Deal with it. No, we don't leave it there. So the question becomes, flip that up there. I think I have that. How will we face the hard things? And am I devoted enough to not only get through the hard things, but to glorify God through them? That's the important question, right? It's not the question. We will all face hard things. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt in my mind. I have faced hard things. I'm going to face more hard things. The same goes for you. What the question becomes is how will I choose to face those hard things? And more importantly, will I glorify God in those hard things? And that takes a devotion. That takes a maturity. That takes being steadfast in your faith. Let's look at an example in Acts. And in this account, I believe that we're going to get an even deeper understanding as to the character of Paul, right? We're you know, really the second half of the book of Acts is about Paul, right? And it should be. I mean, this guy, he's a crazy man for God. Right. And this is important because it's a good model for each one of us in our daily faith. You need a role model in your life. Paul's a good one. He's just a great role model. And we must remember Paul's powerful words in 1 Corinthians 11. It's 1 Corinthians 11, 1. It's a great, great passage. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Those are huge words. We could all speak those words and they carry some weight, but when Paul speaks those words, man, they carry a whole ton of weight. This is going to prove to be very relevant and impactful as a statement made by Paul. So hang with me here and it's all going to come together. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, we are getting through this. Such good principles. I will say this. Doing a series on principles in the book of Acts, we could spend probably 2 years on this. I've done series that are close to a year, maybe a little over, but we're not going to do a two-year series. So it's really important that you read the book of Acts, you study the book of Acts on your own. Let's look at what's going on here. Acts 21:10. Actually, that should be 10 through 11. We're going to get to 14, but let's just look at 10 and 11 right now. As we were staying there for some time, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to see us, he took Paul's white band, his belt, his sash, and bound his own feet and hands and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this same way, the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this band, and they will hand him over to the Gentiles, the pagans." Grab a better understanding of what's going on here and how we have gotten to this point. So we know that Paul's been doing his thing, right? He's been preaching the gospel of Christ. He's been encouraging and planting churches. He has been boldly doing what God has called him to do. That's why we need to follow him as he follows Christ. He has been a hurricane for the kingdom, and he has left a trail of evangelism through the region, and he's just raring to go. He is ready to roll. Obviously, not everyone is as excited about what he is doing as we are, right? Paul has made enemies. He's made lots of enemies. We've been looking into some of the accounts that Paul has had to go through, being stoned, drug out for dead, being beaten with rods, thrown in prison. There's so many different things. It's all because Paul didn't keep his mouth shut, but rather he proclaimed Jesus. So he's made enemies, especially with the Jerusalem Jews, where he is seen as a threat to their Orthodox views, right? They look at Paul and they think, man, this guy's just fervent. He's passionate. He's preaching. He's going all over. We got to stop this guy. We got to stop this guy because this thing's already out of control. But we got to get him. We got to pull this thing back. And really, for those Jerusalem Jews, this must have stung even harder. Because at one time, Paul was their guy, right? Paul was their guy, zealous and fervent in his beliefs and his persecution for the Christians knew no bounds. And now he's the most effective messenger of Christ's message. What a turn in his life. What a turn in all of those things. It's just a wonderful, wonderful story of what can truly happen if one allows God to completely get a hold of him. So the Jerusalem Jews, they are so mad. They're so mad they want him dead. They're not messing around. They're like, man, we're not going to go argue with him. We're not going to go threaten him. Let's just kill him. That's the only way. Dead men tell no tales. Let's shut him up. Let's kill him. We can't allow him to continue to speak about Jesus as the Messiah. Conviction in their hearts, right? But their conviction led them to anger. Does that sound familiar at all? To me, it sounds a whole lot like how the Jews faced Jesus. And we have some very important parallels running here. Maybe you've never seen the parallels running here. We're going to look at that. If you have been reading the book of Acts, you know that for really the prior several months, wherever Paul travels, the Holy Spirit has warned him that when he arrives in Jerusalem, he will be imprisoned and afflicted. And you can find one of those examples in Acts 20, verses 22 to 23. And this was also told to the elders of the church in Ephesus as well. The Holy Spirit also told some in the church of Tyre. You can see that in Acts 21:4. So a lot's happening in Paul's life, and the Holy Spirit is actually speaking to other people about what lies in store for Paul. And now we see this man named Agabus, and he comes all the way from Judea, probably Jerusalem, and he's coming to Paul, and he's vividly showing him what awaits him in Jerusalem. Now, listen very carefully here, because if we're not careful, we can misrepresent and misinterpret this example as a warning for Paul to avoid Jerusalem, to avoid the Jews there, and to avoid what is going to happen, right? We want to make sure when the Holy Spirit speaks, we have clarity and an understanding what the Holy Spirit is actually speaking in a fullness of wisdom, not just the partial part. Again, I see another parallel here. See, Jesus himself was fully aware of the cross that awaited him, just like Paul is now being prepared as to what awaits the rest of his life. In both cases, the road they were embarking on was not going to be an easy one. However, both had their eyes upon the Father and his will. Now Paul's words are heating up, aren't they? Imitate me just as I imitate Christ. He literally imitated Christ. And he is asking us to fully imitate him as he imitates Christ. That's weighty. That's big. There's a lot of gravity pulling on us with that one. See, it's not only in the happy things, because we're good at that. Oh, I'll imitate Paul in the happy things. It's wonderful. It's not only in the good things, because we like to imitate Paul as he imitates Christ in good things, the blessings and things like that. That's easy to imitate. Not only in the easy things as well, but also, and maybe more importantly, in the hard things. Brings us back to principle number 15. The church is willing to do the hard things. That's a statement. That's not a question. The church is willing. God predestined, he ordained the church in a way to do the hard things. And just like Christ, Paul knew how the story was going to end. He did. He knew it. He had done so much. He had made so many enemies. He had preached Jesus to so many different people. There's no way his story was going to end any other way. And just like Christ, he also knew the importance of the journey to that ending day, didn't he? Because that's important, isn't it? It's not only important how we finish our story, it's important how we get to the end of our story, of our journey. Let me ask you this, and it's not a very fun thing to think about. How might you respond in this same situation? When the Holy Spirit does something to you, maybe directly or through somebody else, with confirmation, and it's something that you're going to have to walk through. It's not going to be very easy. It's not going to be very fun. The ending result isn't going to bring you a whole lot of glory or peace or security or anything. But the Holy Spirit says, this is your path. This is what I need you to do. How might you respond in this situation? Let's see what Paul does. This is verses 12 through 14 now. Now, when we had heard this, both we and the local residents began pleading with Paul, trying to persuade him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul replied, Why are you doing weeping and breaking my heart like this? For I am ready not only to be bound and imprisoned, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be dissuaded, we stopped pleading and fell silent, saying, the Lord's will be done. Wow. Wow. There's so much. Now, we know who wrote the book of Acts, right? Luke, the only Gentile writer of the Bible, wrote the book of Acts. So we know Luke was there, and when he heard these things, along with the other people there, they begin pleading with Paul. Hey, don't go. Hey, we got a great solution to this. Avoid it. Just don't go. We'll just do something else. God will bless that, right? Yeah, it's disobedience, but God will bless it in the long run, right? So there's all these conversations going on. And again, there's so much packed into these three verses. But maybe most importantly, let's keep this in view of the parallels that are going on. Look in Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples clearly that he must go to Jerusalem and endure many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high courts, same people that Paul's dealing with, and to be killed and be raised from death to life on the third day. Peter took him aside to speak to him privately and begin to reprimand him, saying, may God forbid it. This will never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man. Is it possible that in our good Christian intentions, we might actually be hindering people in their faith and in their use in the kingdom? Because after all, why would God say that? After all, why would God ask you to give that up? After all, why would God whatever? And we are not listening to God. We are not being led by the Holy Spirit. But rather, we are chasing the things of man. We're trying to speak for the Holy Spirit without clarity, wisdom, and comfort, confirmation. Might we, in any situation, might we be setting our minds on things of man and not things of God? Brings us back to principle number 15 again. The church is willing to do the hard thing. See, we have two powerful examples here. First in Jesus, always first in Jesus, and second in Paul. And the reality is sometimes God trusts us enough and loves us enough to give us the hard things to do. We should expect God to ask us to do the hard things. If we're not being asked to do the hard things, we need to reevaluate the depth of our faith and our relationship with Christ. In these times, we must remember our family once again. It runs through Paul, but it only runs through Paul because it all runs all the way back to Christ. So the church must be willing to do the hard thing. And if you're sitting there going, ooh, well, this gets me off because it's the church doing the hard things. Not me individually doing the hard things. It's the church doing the hard things. Maybe you can rationalize that and you're okay with that. The problem is that you are the church.
That's right.
Individually speaking, each one of you makes up the church. So when I make a statement like the church must be willing to do the hard things, once again, what I'm really saying is that we as individual believers in Christ must be willing to do the hard thing. And in this, we are to imitate Paul just as he imitated Christ. For I am ready not only to be bound and imprisoned, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul could say this with confidence because his identity was in Christ. Think of all those wonderful things that Paul has said in his epistles that we read and we're like, ooh, that's really good. I am crucified in Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's because of that belief that he has the confidence to go to Jerusalem, despite people saying, no, you shouldn't go. We know what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit has told us plainly what is going to happen. You should avoid it. You should run away. We can do other things. And Paul said, no, no. I have confidence in Christ, even unto death. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. These are things Paul lived by. He had to live by these things. He wasn't just an eloquent writer. He wrote what he truly believed. You guys remember what Paul says in Colossians 3? Colossians 3, 2. Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on the things that are on earth, which have only temporal value. They're temporary. Paul lived his life in such a manner. And it's so powerful, and it should be such an example to us. That's why Paul can say, follow me as I follow Christ. See, if I stand up here and I look at all you guys and I'm like, hey, you guys should follow me as I follow Christ. Most of you guys, all of you guys should be like, because I'm not Paul. I didn't go through the things Paul did. I didn't have to make the choices that Paul had to make. I didn't have the situations that he was in. All of those things. Man, Paul is such a sterling, shining example of how we are to live simply because he is imitating Christ himself. Today's principle, as hard as it is to think about, is vital to living out a complete faith. So many people are living an incomplete faith. They're picking, they're choosing, they're kind of doing this, but they're doing a whole lot of this over here. Jesus himself intends us to live a complete faith. I know that because I know he gave the Holy Spirit to us so that we could live out a complete faith. So we have a desire, an openness, an availability to do the hard thing, to not only live out a complete faith, but to also be completely useful for the kingdom. A lot of ineffectiveness going on in this world today, simply because we lack the desire to do the hard things that God is asking us to do. And I don't believe we can opt out of this one. I don't believe there's a box we can check to say, Jesus, I agree with you on all of these things, and I am fully and committed to you in all of these things, but I'm checking the box that says, I don't want the hard things in my life. We don't have that box. You know why we don't have that box available to us? Because all of us would check that box. Of course we would. Paul, on the other hand, is like, oh, I live for the hard things. I live for the hard things because he knew the satisfaction and the effectiveness that came through those hard things. So we can't opt out of this one, and I don't believe we should try. I don't believe we should ever try to opt out of this. Do we pray that hardship and hard things come into our life? No, we don't. What we pray is, Jesus, let me be useful to you. Let me draw nearer to you. Whatever I need to do in my life to do those things, to accomplish those things, Lord, I'm an open door. Do whatever you want. We pray those things, and then it's God's desire, it's God's wisdom, it's God's plan, and he puts some people in super hard situations and other people in relatively less hard situations. See, there is much blessing and wisdom, growth, and assurance that comes through the hard things. Think back in your own life. You've gone through hard things. You've had to challenge yourself. You've had to walk through hard things. You've had to deal with hard things. When you come through that, you are better for it because you have relied on God in a whole new way. Our faith and our identity is shaped in an important way only during our willingness to do the hard things. Each one of us must ask ourselves, even if I know things will not turn out the way I would like them to, will I still obey? That's a true test of the maturity you have in the Lord. Even if I know I will be sacrificing my comfort, my reputation, or even my own safety, will I still obey? These are real questions. We really do have it easy here in America. We really do on so many levels. And I'm going to say on so many levels, especially our faith. I'm going to be super real here. And this country has done great things for the kingdom of God because of the blessings that God has poured out upon this nation. Evangelistic outreach in America, it's been amazing. Great mission movements around the world that started and was funded by America. Church planting, it's crazy. In our own nation and around the world, it's amazing. Church multiplication. God has blessed this nation, and He has done this in such a great way. It's become very easy. Amazing stuff has come out of that lack of resistance. But this has all come with a cost. And I would argue it's a great cost. Because in many ways we have come to expect the easy road when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, when it comes to living out a Christian life. We tend to expect it to be pretty easy. It's just something else that I can do to feel good about myself, right? I can come to church relatively unobscured. I can get there super easy. If I don't go, it's not that big a deal. If I skip for the whole month, it's really not that. If I tune out during the message, not that big a deal. If I sit and I don't worship during worship time, it's not that big a deal because it's easy. But I don't know that that's God's intention. See, to get to Jesus is easy. To live out a life in relationship with Jesus and in faith, that's not so easy. Amen. And it's not so easy because Jesus does everything to get us to Himself. But then He expects us to do some things on our own to stay there. And I love that about Jesus. He respects us so much. He doesn't treat us like babies. He expects us to grow up because He wants to treat us with respect as adults. See, we have associated the cost of living out a Christian life to be relatively inexpensive. It doesn't cost me that much. Hey, I might go to church now, but I may not later. I may get into reading my Bible now, but I may not later. There's just not a big investment. There's not a big commitment. And that runs contrary to what Jesus taught and what the early church affirmed. And we must learn from Paul here. He resolved and committed in doing everything for the Lord. And that must also be our goal, right? Even the hard stuff. I'm going to be painfully straightforward with you here once again. Great message, isn't it? Why I was so excited. Many, many Christians today actually decline to pray for the will of God to be in their life because it would mean that they would have to relinquish their own will. That's painfully honest, isn't it? See, we like to use that sentence. It's a buzz sentence. It's Christianese. Hey, just pray the will of God in your life. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. You just need to pray the will of God. Just pray the will of God. And we hear it so often, and it becomes cheap because we hear it so often. But do we actually pray the will of God in our life? Especially when and even if the will of God for our life is Him directing us and asking us to step out into something that's not comfortable and it's not easy. See, we have to get to the point, as Paul got to the point, where he relinquished his own will and he simply said, Lord, it's your will. It is your will in my life. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's no longer my agenda. It's no longer I. It's no longer my will. It's your will in me. It's quite the place to get to, isn't it? And I would wonder, just wonder how many professing born-again Christians, so that narrows it way down, professing born-again Christians would actually say, no, I truly want the will of God in my life, no matter what. We go to third world nations, we see that prevalent. We come to this first world nation, maybe not so much. See, our human nature in this sinful world tell us that it is our will that is most important. And unfortunately, this philosophy runs rampant in the modern day church. It really does. So what about you? What about you guys in here this morning listening online? Whose will you desire most in your life? Boy, you guys got quiet on me. Quiet. You guys got dirt on your shoes or something? Because everybody's kind of looking down. Let me remind you of 1 Corinthians 11:1. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. See, those are words to grab onto and to hold on to. When we choose God through thick and thin, then we start to affect those that are around us, truly affect those that are around us. See, we can be a model example of hey, my life is going really good and I'm a Christian, and look at my life, look at my big house, I got a boat, I got this and that, and I'm a Christian, and you should be a Christian and be like me, right? But what about the hard times? Man, people, that's cheap. You know, we try to sometimes fool people into thinking, man, if you just give your life to Christ, your whole life is going to be easy and a blessing. That's that prosperity gospel junk. It's theologically wrong. Right. It's totally wrong. Jesus never said you're going to just be blessed and happy your entire life. Jesus said, man, you're going to have trials and tribulations. You're going to have to walk through things. You're going to have to be like me. And Paul's saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Christ died by execution. Paul died by execution. Who are we supposed to imitate? I'd much rather imitate Joel Osteen because his message is so happy. Acts 21:14 again. This is so important. And since he would not be dissuaded, we stopped pleading and we fell silent, simply saying, the Lord's will be done. Paul shut them up. They looked at Paul and they're like, man, let's go. We got to go. We got to keep you safe. You're so important. We got to disobey the Holy Spirit. We know what he's saying, but we got to get you out of here. We got to get you out of here. And Paul firmly states, no, you guys got it all wrong. You guys aren't understanding. And he stood firm. And they fell silent. And all they could say is, well, then the Lord's will be done. But we're going to trust. We're going to trust in you, Paul. But more importantly, we're going to trust in the Holy Spirit. God, the Father, may your will be done. Words that need to serve as an example to each one of us.
Yeah.
And it's those same words that I know I've heard somewhere else. Mark 14:36, but not what I will, but what you will. That's Christ's example to us. That's his example to Paul. That is the example that each one of us should be following. The final words that we live by. Not what I want, not what I will, but God, what you want.
Amen.
And what you will. Don't be afraid to do the hard things. Don't be dissuaded from doing the hard things. As a Christian brother and sister, don't try to divert somebody from doing the hard things when the Holy Spirit speaks to. Well, I just don't think that's the Holy Spirit saying that. Really? You prayed about that and sought the Lord on that. Don't get in the way. Peter did it to Jesus. Luke and the others tried to do it to Paul. Thank God that neither of them listened to the voices that were around them. Look at James 1:12. Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God is the man who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted. For when he has passed the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Hard stuff is coming. Hard stuff will continue to come. What is your character? Is it the character of this world? Is it the character of your past? Or is it the character of Jesus himself? Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation. Amen. We read things like, man, that should get us excited. There is nothing that this world can do to us. There is nothing that we should fear besides God himself. Boy, that would change everything. It is time to stop taking the easy route of Christianity and simply getting by, living our comfortable religious lifestyle, and it's time to start digging in and stepping out. Pray, pray, God, show me what my life entails. What would you have me to do? Strengthen my faith in such a manner that when the hard challenges come, I can meet those challenges as I imitate Paul as he imitates you. My intention today, though sometimes I wonder myself, my intention today is to simply encourage you to think about how your faith aligns with the hard things that God is asking you to do. Hard things we face and hard things that God will continue to ask us to do. Worship team, if you guys want to quietly come up here. I'm not going to stand up here and claim that I'm wise and know everything that you're going through. I have no idea. Some of you I do, some of you I don't. So I don't know, truly. I can't honestly say that I know what your hard things might be. But I bet each one of us have some hard things in our life right now that we have to maybe make a decision on. The sooner we make that decision, the better. It could be forgiveness. Are you harboring unforgiveness? Maybe that's the hard thing that God wants you to walk through right now. And he's saying, man, you got some unforgiveness you're carrying around. You need to deal with that. That can be a tremendously hard thing. Maybe it's simply commitment. Commitment to your relationship with God and everything that flows from that, right? Which would include prayer, scripture reading, coming to church, getting involved, all of those things, right? Maybe that's the hard thing for you right now. Maybe it's simply stepping out. Maybe God's saying, hey, you need to step out more. Maybe it's as easy as inviting people to a Christmas Eve service. Would Paul look at that and say, yeah, that's a real hard thing? I think Paul would look at that and in Paul's wisdom would say, that's the hard thing for you right now. How are you going to decide to meet that, to step out in that? Will we ever get to the point where we stand there and get stoned or beaten by rods or taken to the executioner who's going to chop our head up? Maybe, maybe not. But we all have hard things that we can do. Maybe it's just standing up for your faith. Maybe it's in your family. You have a family surrounded by agnostics and atheists, and they just want to belittle your faith. Maybe the hard thing is actually standing up in a manner that shows both truth and love, but it also shows that you're steadfast in your faith, that you won't be shaken. Maybe that's the hard thing that God's asking you to do. Maybe you're dealing with an addiction in your life, whatever that addiction may be, whatever that addiction may look like. Maybe that's the hard thing that the Holy Spirit is saying, it's time to deal with this. And it's not going to be easy. Maybe it's a relationship, a strained relationship, and God's saying, it's time, it's going to be the hard part. Maybe it's going into missions and going halfway around the world and working with people that want to kill you. Maybe it's to that extreme. Maybe that's the hard situation that God is leading you into. Maybe it's repentance itself. Maybe it's coming to this altar, getting before God. You're just pouring yourself out to Him. Maybe that's the hard thing to do. Maybe that's the scary thing to do. All I know is that God calls us to hard things. And until we step into glory, He's going to continue to call us to hard things. Don't make the mistake and go out there and manufacture hard things in your life. I'm going to go pick a fight here in the name of Jesus. Get to the Holy Spirit. Let Him direct you. We don't go out and make our life hard. But what we do is we welcome those challenges that God brings into our life, even if they are hard. So I don't know where you are. I don't know if it's a forgiveness, commitment, stepping out, standing up, addiction, repentance kind of thing. But I do know that the Holy Spirit is calling us right now to do hard things. Go ahead and turn the lights all the way down. We're doing an altar call. Big surprise, right? The altar, got to open up this altar right now. Because we can't waste these scriptures, these parallels, these words of Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. We can't waste those. I can't just turn you guys loose. I can't just say, have a wonderful and blessed day. Go be happy. We come to this point in the service where the altar has to now be open. Because God is asking us to do hard things. And maybe those hard things are walking up to this altar, like I said, and pouring yourself out to God. Maybe it's asking forgiveness for yourself. Maybe it's repentance. Maybe it's asking God just His blessing, His power, and His ability to deal with the hard things that you're going through or that may be coming up. So as we sing this last song, gosh, the song this morning, this song, it's great. We're worshiping God through this song, but it's a background song to what the Holy Spirit is actually doing in each one of your lives. Don't fear the hard things. Don't run from the hard things. Don't run from the altar where God wants to interact with you so that He can direct you, guide you, and provide for you in those hard things. You got a hard person in your life? Pray for them. You need prayer this morning? We've got people to pray for you this morning. Let us not waste this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, let Your conviction seep into us so that we are not left in the same place that we've been standing for far too long. But rather, Lord, in those hard things, whatever it may look like, help us to run to You and You alone, that we may find strength and wisdom and guidance to get through these hard things and all the while to glorify You in these hard things. So Jesus, You rule and reign. touch hearts this morning. Meet people at the altar. Holy Spirit, guide us. Guide us in worship. Guide us in truth. Guide us in love. Guide us in word. Touch hearts this morning, Jesus. We pray this in your name. And everyone said, amen. The altar is open. As we continue to pray, as people continue to get ministered to, I want you to know it is my love and respect for you guys that I will bring a message like this to you. The last thing I want to do is get to heaven and have to explain to God why I didn't preach the truth, why the people lived in ignorance. So that's why I do these things. I get to wrestle with it all week long up to Sunday. Listen to this, though. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, generously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God the Father, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors. In all things we are more than conquerors. Paul wrote those words.
Victory.
And we are to follow Paul as he follows Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Seek God. Don't run from the hard things. Allow God to work in you. Let him pull those walls down in your heart. Let him soften that stone. Let him continue to speak life into your life. Pursue God relentlessly. And be blessed as you walk out of this building today into one of the greatest mission fields in America, Helena, Montana. Be bold, be strong, and be blessed. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.